You know, I marvel that when we start the service every week, there's about three of you behind me. And then by the time I stand up, then there's a whole room full of you. So I love that. Every once in a while I wish we could be here on time, but I'm still happy that we're all here. We're going to continue our time of worship and our sermon series. We're kind of turning a corner today. This is will be the last sermon in our series about loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind, with all of our strength and body. And Bill talked last week about loving God with focused energy. And he talked a lot about the mentality of discipline. And so this morning we're going to carry that a little bit further and talk about holy bodies, healthy bodies. And we've got the doors locked so you can't get out. You're stuck. So I want to ask you a question that I don't want you to give me the answer for. I want you just to reflect on it here just for a few minutes. But what is your relationship with your body? Did you know you have one? You do. You have a relationship with your body. For some of you, it's your BFF. It's your best friend forever. Because it's your gateway into a lot of fun and a lot of adventure, because you're a physical person. You like to go out and get things done, and you love vacations, and you get to go out with that. Others of you say, might be thinking, oh, my body is my biggest nemesis. You know, I struggle with it. I battle with it. It's the great Waterloo of my life, and it's not a lot of fun. But we attend to our bodies for all sorts of reasons. Some of them are bad, and some of them are absolutely right on and good. I am now eating cruciferous vegetables, which means anything that has flowery things to it, like broccoli and cauliflower, because I had a little bout of cancer 2 or 3 years ago. Others of you are diabetics, and so you're watching what you eat, and you're watching the blood, the sugar levels, and that is all exactly what we ought to do. But there's other times that we act out of other different kind of motives. We're ashamed of how we look, or we're fearful because of the pimple we have on our nose. Sometimes we use our bodies to rebel, or we're just feeling discouraged, so we put on something that matches our outside with our inside. We use our bodies for a lot of different reasons in a lot of different ways. And we spend a lot of money on it and a lot of time. I mean, if I could take out the time that I spend on what I'm going to wear in the morning, I bet I'd have about 3 hours extra time. Now, it's not that bad, but that's why I'm late, Bill, a lot of times to staff meetings. But I want to read for you something, a passage in 1 Corinthians that's going to start us out on the right foot. And so please listen to God's word in 1 Corinthians 6, starting with verse 12. Paul writes, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food. But God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. And he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body." And here's the key verses. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God, and you are not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Lord, we thank you for this gift of our bodies. We thank you for the gift of your word that reorients us. We thank you for your spirit. And I ask, Lord, that you would work in us this morning to help us to hear your heart for us, your heart for our bodies and for what we can do to respond to you. I pray for all these things in the precious name of your Son. Amen. Well, I want us to also reflect for a minute the incredible gift that our bodies are to us. They're a gateway into a lot of things. For one, they're a gateway to our enjoyment. When you hop on your bicycle and you go down to your favorite breakfast spot on Saturday morning, you can thank your body for getting you there. When you go to a wine tasting event and you can savor the different kinds of wine, that's a gift that your body has given you. When you play frisbee golf or you go to a film fest or when you come to Faith and Film on Wednesday nights, when you go down to Yo Yogurt and have some of their yogurt for breakfast or lunch, when you can sit in a rose garden with a friend and just enjoy the fragrance, all these things we have access to simply because we have a body. If God had made us spirit, all of these enjoyments would go by the wayside, every single one of them. It's a gateway to blessing others. When you walk around the breakfast table, I used to do this, and just put my hand on one of my sons, I was communicating, I'm here for you. I see you. I love you. When Libby and I are sitting in the staff meeting and somebody says something, she and I glance at each other every once in a while and go, can you believe they just said that? It just takes a glance. When we say to somebody, keep going, don't give up, you can do this, we're using our bodies and our voice to bless somebody. When I hear from one of my kids, Mom, I just don't understand what I'm supposed to do, then I can open up my ears and become a blessing to my daughter or my sons. And when we give flowers to somebody as precious as Betty, wherever you are over there, Betty, the fragrance is a way to say, you are precious and thank you. You've been a gift to us. Our bodies are ways, are gateways to things that we couldn't do, we couldn't enjoy without the physical, tangible sights and sounds and touch, the wind blowing in our face. It's also a gateway to our uniqueness because we all have 10 fingers and yet we have different fingerprints. We have ears to hear, but our ears come in different sizes. Some of them lay flat. Some of them move forward. My Aunt Ivy had gigundo ears. My mother had little tiny ones. But we all share two hands and two eyes, two ears. But every single one of us is absolutely different. What an incredible thing that God has created. It's a gateway, our bodies are gateways to worship. And by that I don't mean so much that we stand up or sit down or wave our hands up. But consider this. Consider the masterpiece that God has created in your body. That if our cars were as efficient as our bodies, we would get 900 miles per gallon. Isn't that a hoot? Each cell nucleus contains 1.8 meters of DNA. And this would be like putting 30 miles of fishing line inside a cherry pit. And depending on how it's folded in that cherry pick, because it's not stuffed, depending on how it's folded in there, you either get a liver cell, or you get a sin cell, or you get other some kind of cell, just by the way it's folded. Our bones, except for Melanie's, are 4 times stronger than concrete. Because that's what she fell on in the concrete one. In 30 minutes, we give off enough heat to boil a gallon of water. We produce enough saliva in our lifetime that we could fill 2 swimming pools. Love that, don't you? Our noses can recognize and store 50,000 different scents. Can you believe that? 50,000 different kinds of scents. And the acid in yours and my stomach is strong enough to dissolve zinc. Consider that for a minute. I think our bodies are something like fireworks that have different timing, different looks, different colors, and it's all a huge display of God's glory. And that's what God intended for us. So I ask you again, you know, what's your relationship with your body? What's your relationship? There is an author that named Diana Speckler, who I'm not familiar with except for what she wrote or what she found out. But she had a website that whereby people could come in and write how they felt about their body, all anonymously. And it's a bit against this big backdrop of the wonder of our body that we've just talked about that she received these kinds of entries. One of them said, "I hate everything about my body. And I often feel guilty because I should be thankful I even have one. I have no missing limbs, no diseases. But I'm tired and exhausted of hating my blessed body." Another entry: "I constantly compare myself to other women." Somebody else: "I continually base my worth on what other people look like. I don't know how to feel comfortable in my own skin." And the last one: "I constantly compare myself to others. Weight, skin, hair, clothes, and more often than not, I find myself lacking in most areas." And I hope you can hear the shift. All of a sudden, we've talked about the wonder of what God has done and the enjoyment and gateway into enjoyment that our bodies were created to be and the way they were meant to bless people. And all of a sudden, in these entries, what I hear is a shift towards me, 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 me. Can you hear it? There's lots of evidence for this. There's more tanning salons now in the United States than there are Starbucks. What do you think? It's true.
Impossible.
I know, impossible. But if the website says that, it's true, right? $10 billion was spent last year on cosmetic surgeries. What could we do with $10 billion? $10 billion. And in case, you guys, that you think men are kind of outside that box, since 1997, cosmetic surgeries for men have jumped 121%. 8 million Americans have eating disorders. And aging is now considered a disease. I am not kidding. I want to read this to you. It's just one sentence. Aging, quote, "Aging as a disease can be treated if started early." "But it's never too late." That's what it said, unquote. It's never too late. So I just wanted you guys to know that you can not age if you just follow this website. My grandfather used to have aging spots on his hands. And I used to marvel at them. They were fascinating to me. And apparently now aging spots are something that we need to get rid of. instead of being something just to go, whoa, look what my grandfather can do. He can grow aging spots. But we've taken our bodies, instead of the wonder that they were created to be, we've depersonalized them, and it's something that we use to glorify us. Something to glorify us. And we all know why. It's because we're very good at making everything about us. That's what the fall was about. That's what the fall in Genesis 3 is about, is that everything now becomes about us. It's about my body. But we're disoriented about what this gift of our bodies is. And that's what I hope to reorient us again this morning about. Because these statistics that I've mentioned, they're just symptoms. That's all they are, of a deeper problem. And that is that we're believing lies about ourselves. The one thing that I hear most often in my office when it has to do with our bodies are one of two things. You either don't feel like you're enough, or you feel like you're too much. You know? I'm too much personality. I talk too much. I'm too sensitive. I'm too small. I'm too tall. I'm too big. Or I'm not enough. I'm not enough of a woman or enough of a man. I'm not enough of an athlete. I'm not enough. And those are absolute lies. The major lie that we have bought into is that if we do something with our body to make it different, then by doing that, we're going to find intimacy. We're going to find belonging. We're going to finally belong to that group. We're going to finally have some power in our lives if I don't look like such a dweeb. We're going to find purpose. We're going to get the right friends. We're going to belong to the right group of people. I'm going to catch that guy or I'm going to catch that gal. If only I were different. If only I could belong. And when we buy into that lie, then we give our body heck for it. It becomes something we have to change and something to do differently. I like to think of the three B's, and there might be more, but I think of treating our bodies like bags, punching bags. When we're frustrated with our world, with ourselves, with somebody else, sometimes that anger turns inward and we punish ourselves. We think the only thing I can control in this stupid world is my weight, so I'm going to do that. And we create an eating disorder. We cut ourselves because we're so mad. Or we find other more acceptable ways of abusing ourselves. Another B, bait. Not bags, but bait. And I don't think I need to say too much about this because we've learned that we can catch things with how we look. We are designed to attract others sexually, and so that's what we do. We become overly provocative. I like to say we lead with what we can show off, whatever that is. The third B is billboards. We use our billboard to communicate things about us. I'm available. I'm not available. I'm a stud. I'm in shape. I don't care. I'm an artist. In fact, what I loved, my son, just a little sidebar on this. My son was in Chicago in art school for 3 years. And in his senior exhibit, you know, all these artists came out to see all the things that these students had done. That was the most fun place to ever be, to watch how people dress. Because that was their canvas. And it was delightful. I just had a hoot watching what they would do with their bodies. I'm not suggesting that we become dinosaurs and put our hair up in buns and do things like that. That's not the point. What I want to do is just contrast for us the difference between using our bodies for ourselves, and glorifying God with them. There's a difference between glorifying God with our bodies and glorifying our bodies, and that's where I'm trying to move us. So I want us to ask, why do we do the things we do? That's the big question. That's the big question. Why do you work out for 4 hours? Now, I know some of you wish that you could, but some of us work out far more than is healthy for us. Why am I unwilling to walk outside the house without makeup? Why do I fill up my loneliness with food? Do I really need 30 pairs of shoes, and why do I have them in my closet? Why am I a picky eater? Why do I disrupt meetings with humor? Why do I eat more than one donut? See, all these things, it's not bad. You may have 30 shoes for a very good reason. You may eat more than one donut for a very good reason. You may need to work out more than the average person for whatever reason. It's not that those things are wrong. It's we need to go deeper because rules don't help us. If I say go out and an hour a day, you need to do some kind of exercise. That's a good start, but that doesn't get underneath what drives us to misuse our body. The church in Corinth was in a community that was, I think, a lot like our American culture. They were really big into freedoms. They prided themselves on it, and they were proud of who they affiliated with. They were proud of their supreme knowledge in things. They were proud of their spiritual gifts. So they would say, all things are legal. I can do whatever I want to do. It's my body. And in our language, we'd say, I'm free to do whatever I want. You know, and you hear that a lot. So Paul comes in and he coaches them. And he wants them to think things through for themselves. So he doesn't give them rules. He says, I want you to think about your bodies in a different way. Yes, you may be old enough to drink 6 packs of beer a day. Every day. Yes, you may be cool enough to do whatever you want on a date. Yes, you may be able to afford cosmetic surgery, a piercing, or a tattoo. These things are certainly things that you can do. But he says, I want to ask you if they're helpful, if they're what you're really after. And if you're really after wanting to belong and finding significance and finding intimacy in your relationships with people, you may not be getting them in the right way. Because, see, God's already given us a purpose. He's already made us. He's already given us belonging. We belong to him, and we belong to one another. We already have the intimacy that we need to treat our bodies well and to glorify him in them. Because they're gifts. He says, you belong to me. I want to be intimate with you. You are valuable. And if you refrain from these behaviors, it doesn't mean that you're not free. It just means that you're being wise and you're being discerning. So he gives us 3 views of the Christian body that I would like for us to see if we can't substitute what we have believed about them. Our bodies, he says, belong to Christ. They don't belong to us. The body that you have a relationship with right now, it's not yours. You're just inhabiting it for right now. And you weren't bought with from a blue light special. You weren't on sale, so God went down to buy you up. He bought you at the toppest, the most expensive market price, which was his own life. You were bought with a price. You're not your own. I don't care how we might think of it, you're not your own. We belong to him. He says, secondly, our bodies are a part of God's ultimate plan in the resurrection. Jesus came with a body so that our bodies could be redeemed on the cross. If he had come just as a spirit and hung on the cross somehow as a spirit, our bodies would not be able to be redeemed because they're material. So Jesus had to have a material, physical body to hang on that cross so that we could experience resurrection, so our bodies could follow him through death to be risen again. And in case you think that this body is a throwaway, I want to challenge you on that note. Because a little bit later in the 15th chapter, Paul talks about the kind of body we're going to receive. And he compares us to a seed. He says, someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? He says, what a foolish question. I thought it was a good one myself. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. All this is to say is that there's a mystery with our bodies that when they are laid to rest, somehow they are a part of God's plan in the resurrection. They're not going to look alike. We are going to get new bodies, but this is something that we don't quite understand. So what I want to suggest is that our bodies are not just throwaways. See, I think we treat them like a carjacking. This is the image I want to leave with you. It's what we do is our bodies belong to somebody else, but we push God out of them. We hijack it from him, carjack it, and we say, this is my body, and we go around on a joyride for the rest of our lives, and when we're done dealing with them and robbing them of all the treasures that they have, we dump them in a dump site and abandon them, thinking it doesn't matter what we've done. So I want to just suggest to us that we need to hand the keys back to God and let him have these bodies of ours. And it's not something that is easy to do, but we need to find our way back. We need to hand the keys over again and again and again to him. We need to learn what fuels our habits. You know, why do we do what we do? And don't try to whip yourself into shape. Ask yourself, why do I do this? And let God reveal to you what's underneath the abuse or the bad habit or just what you do. Because what happens is that God is inside of us. We are his temple. This is where our longings are met. This is where we are understood and where we can be authentic. It's where we can find forgiveness. It's where we know we can belong as in this temple within us. And nobody can take that from you. No one. So find out what lie it is that's telling you it's the other way. And then like the great old Nike commercial, I want to say, just do it. Those things that I talked about this earlier in my time with you was enjoy your body. Take that bike ride. Go to that rose garden. This is what it means to glorify God with our body, that we would use our senses to enjoy this world. Enjoy your spouse. Enjoy listening to one another. Take care of the engine in this car of ours. Take care of it. It's a marvelous sense of workmanship. And take time to serve others. Go dig through ash with JJ. Encourage somebody. Stop to use your ears to listen. But our bodies are wonderful things. And may we learn more and more how to glorify God with them. Let's pray. Lord, as we continue our time of worship, we now want to give you our tithes and our offerings. And as that basket passes in front of us, Lord, I pray that visually we put ourselves in the basket and offer ourselves to you. Lord, we pray that these gifts that we give would reflect our heart to you, whether it's just a little that we can throw in or a lot. We ask you, Lord, to know that we love you and that we desire to serve you. In your name we pray. Amen.